Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 10th February, recording at 9:39 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first thing I should mention is that I'm not going to be here tomorrow. I'm not going to be at the office tomorrow. Mrs. Fuller is taking me away for a long weekend of cycling. So, Owen Tracy will be in the hot seat and is looking forward to it. So he'll be doing comment of the day and also the audio. But I had agreed that I would do my big picture long-term outlook today instead. And instead of the usual Friday position, and there are also a lot of interesting things that have happened in here today that I want to discuss as well that are of a very short-term nature. So I'll be a little bit more abbreviated on the big picture long-term outlook. But basically, my view is first that Wall Street's in a secular bear market, defined here all along as a generational long process of P/E ratio contraction and rising yields overall. Now, you'll see the impact of that occur most, not surprisingly, in tech stocks, which really were, in many instances, were a concept more than any kind of economic reality or viable economic reality. So where are we within the secular bear market? Well, we've seen a very good technical bull within that secular bear, and these certainly always occur. And they will last anything from 6 months up to a couple of years, and this one certainly is coming up close to the two-year level if we take the beginning of this secular bull run from March 2003, which is what I do. Now, whether the secular bear will look like a big rangy overall downward trend, or where it will be largely a sideways trading range where markets will get medium-term rallies and then some shorter duration but steeper, sharper sell-offs, will depend a lot on liquidity, and there's been no shortage of liquidity around this time. So we're very much in the latter category of the ranging environment overall, at least so far, but there's a long time to go. I say this is a generational long process, and nothing sinister about it, nothing to be terrified about, but it does mean that we need to perhaps be a little bit more active in our money management rather than a buying and holding for the very long term. Now, within that secular bear market, as I've said all along, when Wall Street is steady, let alone rising, then a number of other markets are going to do exceptionally well, not least emerging markets. On the other hand, when investors on Wall Street next take fright, that certainly will spill over into Europe. It always does. And if you get the Americans and if you get the Swiss and the Brits all taking fright simultaneously, then a lot of money that's been invested around the globe gets pulled back in, or taken home, in other words. And so some of those really high-performing emerging markets will demonstrate once again that they're high beta. Those that go up faster than anything else will come back down from time to time faster than anything else. So that's what we need to watch out for. The real risk is the next big sell-off on Wall Street. Now, that's not going to happen this week, that's for sure, but I do feel that we're very much in the end game as we come up to this second anniversary of the technical bull, not least because of the rising interest rates. We've had 6 interest rate cuts. Okay, they came from record low levels for the last 45 years, and yes, Greenspan has kept plenty of liquidity in the system, as indeed have some other central bankers, but this is, as I say, a growing risk. Rising interest rates have killed off more bull markets than any other factor known to mankind. Now, you saw that excellent chart that I put up yesterday from chart of the day, just showing what happens to stock markets following those series of interest rate hikes, or what's happened in the past. And that's as good a guide to the future as we're going to get. Now, in terms of emerging market opportunities and how we actually play those and monitor this end game, well, I can do none other myself, I feel, than just watch some of the lead market indicators, and I've mentioned those repeatedly and posted them on the website, and we'll continue to do so. I don't want to jump out too soon because the latter stages of a bullish run are very often the most profitable. So I don't want to prejudge it, although I have said for a number of months now, really since those mid-August lows, I've said that I felt that best case scenario was that we'd get well into the first quarter, and we're almost halfway there. Now, in terms of say not wanting to get out too soon, equally, I don't want to get out too late. So I do intend to move fairly quickly when I feel I do actually need to move. I'm not going to indulge in a lot of yes, but. Now, I've talked in the last few days about consolidation. It would not be surprising if we saw a little bit of consolidation in here. We saw pauses, we saw a little bit of a setback on Wall Street yesterday, but that's been reversed here today by the Dow, at any rate, but not by the NASDAQ index. Now that's interesting because that's one of the leaders, and if confidence is high, we will get that NASDAQ performing stronger, as was the case really from those mid-August lows. Now, okay, there's a natural rotation sequence, and people are now saying, well, should we be going into some of the big cap and higher yielding stocks, and some of the defensive issues and cyclicals, and so on. Various different themes that are always changing in the marketplace. But the fact that the NASDAQ, for instance, today was barely changed while the Dow closed up 85, just is that just keeps me alert. It would have been more bullish, I'm trying to say, if the NASDAQ had a decent gain as it led so often throughout most of the rally following those mid-August lows last year. Now, what else to mention here that's quite important? I think that's it on the stock market. So, oh, Japan. I mentioned Japan. That was really firm again with the second section up. The topics. Looks like it's nudged out, has not looks like it has nudged out of its little trading range, and we've got the Nikkei here at 11,553. I've been saying that an upward break was imminent, and that still looks to be the case today. So I've got a number of long positions. They are mostly in emerging markets, but I've just mentioned this leveraged position in the Japanese Nikkei, and I've also got a number of positions in resources stocks, and some of those had a very good day. But first, here's an extremely important development for stock markets. The JGBs, and I put those charts up in the subscribers area, Japanese government bonds. You want to have a look at that because I've said that they're at a crossroads, so I don't need to go into that again. But if they get hit tomorrow, let alone if they get hit fairly substantially tomorrow, that will be ringing a number of alarm bells with myself and certainly other people. And the alarm bells are already humming here a bit, as far as I'm concerned, in that sector. Now, you know, I'm speaking as a sort of a stale bear here. I do have a small short position in the JGBs. It's under the water, but a lot less under the water than it was, say, a week and a half ago. Now, today also, the U.S. Treasury bonds in the dynamic chart move section in the subscribers area today, I posted a chart of the US Treasuries. Now they're trading after hours here, right near the low of the day, down 1.1130 seconds. So that is a dynamic that has certainly checked the short-term run. It's not a huge dynamic, but it's a dynamic against the background of an overbought condition, deteriorating or weakening JGB market, and if this gets some follow-through in here tomorrow and next week, it could be really quite significant. I've got a stale bear position in these as well. Now, implications for stock markets. One of the things that I've said during this technical rally, particularly when discussing the interest rates, saying that as long as the long bond was holding up, then I didn't really see the plug being pulled on Wall Street. On the other hand, that if the U.S. Treasury bonds fell sharply, that would certainly, in my view, be a bearish factor, quite probably with a delayed reaction. For instance, it didn't appear to affect Wall Street at all today. It might even have led to some shifting of money out of bonds and into equities. But continued weakness or persistent weakness in the bonds would be negative for Wall Street. Less so in Japan, where those yields are so ludicrously low. Now, one medium-sized downward dynamic, it's like one swallow does not make a summer, this medium-sized downward dynamic does not make for a major bear run, but I do feel that in terms of the big picture long-term outlook, that the top of the global secular bull market in bonds was in June 2003, and then after a very sharp sell-off and some violent gyrations, so I'm talking mainly now about the JGBs and the U.S. Treasury bonds in slow growth areas such as Euroland, where the inflation fears are less, bonds have done a fair bit better, ditto in the U.K. But if we get a significant move in the JGBs and the U.S. Treasuries, you can bet that will spill over into all other bond markets. Australian bonds, interestingly, also look vulnerable to a downside sell-off in terms of bond futures prices. So this, again, needs to be watched. If bonds steady tomorrow or next week, T-bonds that is, then that will remove a potential threat for Wall Street. On the other hand, if we get a significant correction, and really if we start, they closed or last traded in after hours at 115.29 on the March contract, we see that whelp down back into the previous trading range. That won't be enough to trigger a significant sell-off on Wall Street, but it will put a lot of people on alert who are familiar with this interaction that very often occurs between bond markets and stock markets. Okay, moving on because time is short. Currencies here today. We had the first evidence that I can say that certainly in the last month that raises that question, is that definitely it as far as the dollar's rally is concerned? Now, again, it's not conclusive, and not all of those levels that you see on the charts have been held. For instance, the euro, I'll take the dollar against the... No, I'll talk about it in euros, sorry. The euro had fallen back to 127.39 shortly after the trade figures were announced, and then it started to push back up again. Got up to 129.07, but not doing that badly. 128.73. A little bit more significantly, the Japanese yen and versus the dollar. The dollar had run up strongly to 106.88. That was It looked to many like a breakout, but then the whole thing was given up, and it left a lot of tail on the upside. In other words, the dollar could not hold the gains against the Japanese yen, currently trading at 105.85. That's a yen off the high. Now again, these are not huge signals, but it's the first, as I say, these are the first signs that we've had a change. Better signal occurring for the Australian dollar against the US dollar. That's currently up 127. It's 78.33. So that's broken the progression of lower rally highs within what is essentially a symmetrical triangle type of pattern, and the lows continue to rise. That looks bullish. I'm glad I've still got a long position there, although it's not that big a long position overall. The dollar index had a small downside key day reversal, so that's potentially important. Now, the point I mentioned on the website is that I would respect these signals. I do respect these signals. And what I've often said, you may well recall this, is that once you get a signal like that, a dynamic, that it require back that move, unless you see an almost immediate, in other words, next day, countermanding dynamic in the opposite direction. So that would require for the dollar an upside day tomorrow or early next week, which was at least as big, and preferably even bigger if it's going to signal a further dollar rally. Now, I've been saying all along that I felt that we had probably seen most of the dollar's rally. I was a little early in saying that. But I also said, but I haven't seen any clear evidence that the rally is over. Well, I have seen some evidence today that makes me think there's a good chance that maybe this rally is over. Could be 50-50. And if that's not the case, if we get the countermanding dynamics, then okay, that would I would say no. This is just a warning shot across the bows. The dollar will go a bit higher and then deteriorate. But it's sort of a late in the technical rally signal. Certainly, if the dollar index, which has rallied over the last what month and a half, if that were to get a downside key day reversal is not consistent with an ongoing rally. It would suggest certainly a minimum. A near-term pause and pullback. Now, that dollar weakness here today certainly helped some of the supply and elasticity markets that had been under pressure. The best gain among those was in silver, where you had a whacking great 38-cent jump, huge dynamic. Have a look at that chart. I mean, that really is impressive. Rallied right up to 698 and then backed away that sort of seven from that $7 level. But it's trading after hours here at 695 and a half, and so that's a very, very impressive position. I'm pleased to have a little bit of silver. And I mentioned that yesterday, that I was thinking about that we might have seen the low on that reaction, and considering possibly adding to that, didn't do it, but I'm glad that I had the thinking in the right direction on that. And if any of you were tempted to buy silver, well, you'd be very happy today indeed. Now, gold did better shortly after the trade deficit figures were announced. Gold dipped down to 412. Nearly, and then pushed up steadily, got up as high as 418.78, and it's not doing badly. Up 445 here on the day, and after hours trading at 417.80. But that does not qualify as a dynamic. On the other hand, platinum did have an upward dynamic. Platinum has often been a leader, And so platinum looks like it's going to challenge the lateral resistance again, that 880 level, currently trading at 868. And that a break above that level, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see it, would be extremely bullish, not only for platinum, but also for palladium, which was just up 225 in here today and is languishing at 182.25. But the palladium is a classic laggard. I've said all along that it requires the other precious metals to run, so the more interesting prospects are in the other three precious metals here at this stage. Gold may have lagged a little bit here today because we're still getting this IMF sales talk. I don't think anything will come of that, but it's just enough to stay the hand of some, many potential buyers. I maintain gold's cheap here. And again, in the industrial metals, pretty good gains in here overall. I have seen a small decrease in the backwardations for copper and also for lead. Those have been very, very strong for quite some time. Very, very, very strong, big backwardations, in other words, showing that there was considerably greater physical demand for nearby material than there was supply available. So, but that's there's nothing sinister in that. These things do fluctuate, and today was a good day on the upside for those metals. And oil also had a pretty good upward dynamic here today as well. Got up to 47.04 on that U.S. NYMEX crude. Now remember that $50 level. If we were to see that push up through the $50 level, that would really, I think, certainly start to worry stock market investors once again. So, and I realized that I didn't review all my big picture themes on that. I certainly did in stock markets, and I did in bonds, but in currencies, I maintain that we still haven't seen the end of the dollar's bear trend, and that this is just a technical rally within that trend. But I've never been in the dollar's going to collapse school, and I think, but I do think we'll go back and see the dollar index test that historic support around the 80 level and go a little bit lower. And I think we'll see it do that this year. And in terms of the metals, I maintain that these are all in secular bull markets. So is oil. More items on oil on the website here today. And I think that's pretty much it. So I will just say, have a terrific weekend, and I will look forward to writing and commenting on the audio again on Monday. All the best.